Maybe I should interrupt here to, so that the persons who will hear this tape will know that, was it once a week or at some periodic times, the 8 chief elective officers, I think it was, of the government would have a formal scheduled meeting in a conference room area, or setting rather, in the governor's office. And that was the state administrative board, right?
That's right.
And in, there would be a review of major contracts and that sort of thing, and policy, some policy discussions, right?
Right.
Okay, I just, so people understand.
Then there were informal meetings every day up there in the governor's office, and they would last from 5 minutes to 50 minutes or whatever was required to discuss issues or anything that's facing the government, or you might call it the politics of operating the government, would be discussed at that point. It would be just a matter of finding out what's troubling anybody, or the governor's announcing anything that he wants us to be aware of, or to support. He would speak to that. But in any event, it was during those, at least after those sessions, when we had this little joking around about who was going to become the next Supreme Court justice. And I never even thought about it. I didn't hint that I was interested. I really hadn't thought about it. If it crossed my mind, it was not a serious thought. And here is one afternoon, it must have been early September, early September, I get a call from John Swainson, the governor. And he asked me if I could accompany him to Grand Rapids. He had a couple little stops to make over there, I guess little appearances he had to make, and he wanted to talk something over with me, he said. And I looked at my locale and I said, sure. He said, well, can you be downstairs in parking space in 15 minutes? I said, yep, meet you there. So I met him back at the Capitol and got into the governor's limousine with him, the governor and, of course, the state police driver, and we headed for Grand Rapids, where he had these appearances to make. Got out on the highway, and he said, what do you think of the vacancy occasioned by Talbot Smith going to the federal court? Now, I figured that here was my friend and my party leader and so forth and my chief of government. He's already made his mind up as to what he wants to do, but he wants to ring me in on it in some way, and that he really isn't interested in me. He's interested in what I think, and he's going to tell me what he thinks, which he wants to make sure that I understand and support it. So I had a little understanding with him and with Williams, and I'd always tell him what I really thought.
Always tell him what?
What I really thought about anything.
Sure.
That I wouldn't play games with him.
Right.
I mean, okay, you asked him what I think. I mean, you may not like to hear the answer, but I'm going to give you what I really think.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do anything you want with it, and it's your business, but you're going to get my best thinking about it, and it's going to be the best I know how. Anyway, so I said to John Swainson in response to his question, well, if you really want to know, just about those words, if you really want to know what I think, you either ought to go down in Wayne County and get one of those great circuit judges that Ben Williams is appointed. He said, well, name one. I said, God, there's so many of them. I started ticking off names. I said, Horace Gilmore, Joe Sullivan, Vic Baum, and others. I just named them. Joe Ratchet. Everyone I named, he said, he's not well. He doesn't want it. He's got a problem. And I finally, guys, well, there must be somebody down there. I said, they're electable, they have great credentials in Wayne County where you need to vote. He said, how about you? And it was a complete surprise to me. Complete surprise to me. And I was sort of taken aback. I said, well, I want to think it over. And he said, what is there to think about? I said, well, that's a big jump. That's the sixth largest state of the union. That court is important to a lot of people. I want to think about it a little bit. So he was a little disappointed with my answer, I think, and he said, well, all right. He said, well, think about it. Let me know what your answer is. So we made the trip and came back to Lansing, and I said, oh, God, what do I do? This is big league stuff. Here I'm 39 years old. I've been a lawyer, I think, about 11 years. I practiced in Flint for a little bit less than seven. I've been in government. This is big league. So I'm starting to quibble a little bit. So I said, let's go back to Flint, where they know me as a lawyer, not as a public figure or a politician or whatever you want to call them in Lansing. Let's go back to your roots in Flint, where you practice law, and ask some of the guys, the real good guys, both parties, whom you really have confidence in, people who know you as a lawyer, as a friend, know you, how you made up. So I went back and I talked to, first of all, to Mr. Mallory, my mentor and great benefactor, and then to about, I think there were about three others, John M. Wright, and a couple other guys. What do you think? Well, I got to say, honestly, nobody was that enthusiastic about it. Even my own benefactor, he thought about it. He said, well, Smith, he said, you can't do any worse than some of those bozos up there already. He said, you might as well try it. And with that kind of endorsement, I finally got back to John Swainson and told him I would try, and if I didn't work out, I would be happy to step down, let somebody else do it. He said, you do all right. And so Swainson presented me to the court as a member of the bar and as governor. He introduced me to the court. I took my seat.